Well, well, well. Look who rejoins us once more. Welcome, dear listeners, to Reckless Abandon, our homebrewed Regency romance not Dungeons & Dragons podcast. For some of you, it has been some time since we last spoke. For others, you are simply gobbling up every episode back to back, I know it. You rapacious rogue, you. We here on this program like to refer to you consumers of copious content as the Bingertons. But however you find us this day, we thank you, and we humbly offer a respectful reminder of the what's, the where's, the when's, the tantalizing why's, and most importantly, the who's of our fair tale. The Golden Tree Adventuring Guild, formerly adventurers of the esteemed Red City of Agmar, find themselves instead as the Gold Trees of, well, Gold Tree Manor, of course. A dwarven guard, now a distant but warm father figure whose past haunts and drives him forward. An impulsive grung wannabe hero, now a doting and competitive mother, who will stop at nothing to reach her family's goal. A dragonborn monk, now serving as the ever-present, ever-trusted head butler of the family. And a human asterisk cleric of the Arcana Domain, now a daughter who finds herself in the center of the social event of the season. The family has just been invited to and arrived at the Emerald Gala, the year's biggest and most important social event of their perhaps fictional season. The Gold Trees aim to position the bookish but charming Violet as the event's emerald, held in esteem as the perfect blend of propriety and personality, of artistry and honor. Such is the shortest path to higher social stature for the family, and a potential love match rekindled for Violet. That's right, dear audience. This has the potential to be a kissing podcast. Quincy Feathertop, co-host of the ball and most eligible bachelor in the county, is the apple of the eye of Violet and a great many other potential suitors. But standing in the way of a happily ever after is the other host of the ball. A one Lady Florentina Feathertop, Quincy's severe and protective aunt, who also happens to be one of the richest mortals on the continent. And that severe, protective bird of prey of an aunt is seated immediately in front of the Gold Tree family. The quartet has just entered one of the many opulent ballrooms as part of the welcome event. They can now make their crucial first impressions, both on their hosts and the rest of gathered society. And now I ask our dear Gold Tree family to please describe who Lady Feathertop, Master Feathertop, and the audience sees before them before we move on to the first full round of our game.
The grand doors open, and the name, the Gold Trees, are announced. Through the doors, you see a squat dwarf, accompanied by his lovely grung partner, walk through. The dwarf is an older gentleman, wearing a crisp military outfit, comprised of white slacks and a forest green jacket. with some gold trim over it. There is an air about him as he surveys the room. It is calm. It is reassuring. The more you look into this dwarf's eyes, the more you see his years of life, many of which may have been difficult.
And on this dwarf's arm is an older grown woman. She is wearing a dress that complements her husband. More of that same forest green with gold trim. But the thing that stands out about her is the perhaps excessive hat adorning her head.
Who would dare call it excessive? Who would dare?
This was a gift from her dear husband, Kenjamin, on one of their many anniversaries. And it is a large, wide-brimmed hat with a scale model of the Gold Tree Estate sitting atop it, with working lights, water features, trees, and little miniature models of each of the Gold Tree family and their assistants.
Are there any mechanics or anything, you know, like a steam coming out of a fire or a chimney?
Yes,
or...
there is smoke coming out of the chimney.
And you can see the smoke from the hat waft in front of Kenjamin's face, and he goes to waft it away.
Very casually, just get it out of his face.
I will say the one thing that kind of also stands out about Charity Goldtree's demeanor is that she entered the manor a little bit more feebly, more weak than before. And kind of a callback to our previous episode where I rolled a critical failure on one of my dice. One of the mechanics of this game is personal reputation. When you roll a critical failure, your personal reputation goes down a little bit. So I'm actually starting off this session with a little bit less reputation than I'd like. And when people view both Kenjamin and Charity, Charity is kind of clinging a little bit to Kenjamin and like not really making as grand of an entrance as she could.
Especially, I would imagine, with under the weight of a full-scale model of an estate house.
Correct.
So standing slightly behind Kenjamin and Charity is a...
I'm sorry, I'm just imagining you ready to catch the hat at a moment's notice. Like, that's your job for the night.
Pretty
I'm
close.
Sorry, go get
yeah, no, that was yep. That was pretty close to what it was.
Yep.
But standing just slightly behind Charity and Kenjamin is a tall, dragonborn former monk. Sylvester Lynn is dressed all in black, except for the trims, which are gold, and on his lapel is a small pin denoting a golden tree, the symbol of the household. You could see that he is trying to keep himself poised and straight-backed as the head butler, but also ready to spring into action if anything on top of that hat should start to topple.
And behind all of this is Violet Goldtree. She walks in with a floor-length gown that is very simply cut, but has faint yet intricate embroidery all over it that are branches and leaves. Her hair is longer than before to fit the style of this time we've found our characters in. Violet's auburn locks fall along her back with the top half tied up away from her face with very stylish ringlets as she enters the grand hall, doing her best to stay calm and poised as she sends a prayer to any and all saints, especially those of architecture and fascinators, that her mother's hat is a hit at this part.
In front of the four of you are the two Feathertops, as previously mentioned. But taking up the most room, if not physically, then emotionally, mentally, supernaturally, is the lady of the house, Florentina Feathertop. I previously described her last episode as a feathery inferno. she is wearing, unlike kind of the rest of everyone who are wearing certainly nice outfits, but much like you all, more sensible kind of fare. Apparently, that was for you all and not for her, because she is wearing an opulent, incredibly red, bright dress made entirely of plumage. And she looks down her nose at you all as she is seated up on this dais and says, "Welcome to the Emerald Gala. Oh, gold trees. So nice of you to join us. Haven't thought about you in some time. How are you?"
"Sick bird."
She's not looking at any of you in particular either. She is somehow looking at all of you and none of you at the exact same time.
Do we reply with a sick burn, or is that too...
So, this seems like a great time. We can enter into the actual dice rolling phase of the welcome event.
Dice rolling? In a role-playing game?
I know.
I am outraged, sir.
Finally gotten there after however many minutes of playing. As we said before, this is a homebrew system. We'll talk more about it at some point, or subscribe on Patreon, or go buy it if it's available. We'll have a mid-roll, I'm sure, or something about it. But there are things called scenes, where all of the different players essentially can make a dice roll using one of their skill-based dice pools to advance either their own cause or the cause, in our case, of Violet, to kind of become the emerald of the season's event. One of the scenes, the first one, in fact, is the entrance. Now, you do not have to roll in this exact moment in time. You can roll later on in this event, or it can even be later in the evening. It's kind of an amorphous time. So if anyone would like to use this moment to kind of make their first impression, by all means.
I wish I had more Regency one-liners available, because I do want to have Violet kind of like, not push forward, but like glide forward and have like a response.
Insert witty retort.
Yes. Yeah.
I also do want to reply to Florentina.
Absolutely. And would you like this to be your dice roll, or would you like to just reply?
Both I would like valid. This to be my dice roll.
Absolutely.
And so I would like to use propriety for this roll. This is a pivotal moment, and I want to make sure that we are making a good impression. And so Kenjamin is, I imagine, shorter than Florentina and has to like look up at her a little bit and gives the most pleasant, warm smile and says in response, "I assure you, no one has occupied our thoughts more than you."
Okay. I think we said this last time, but it's a big old fistful of dice. 1, critical failure. 2 to 4, failure. 5 is a success. 6 is a critical success, and things happen when you roll them appropriately.
And Kenjamin has a lot of propriety, and so I'm actually rolling 3d6 for this roll. Ooh, a 6.
Ooh.
A critical success.
Excellent. Now, you can either choose that this is an action that is advancing your personal reputation, and kind of by extension, the reputation of the whole household, or it can be advancing your personal goal. What would you say that this was?
I would say this is advancing my personal reputation.
So, because you rolled a critical success, you increase your personal reputation by 1.
So my reputation has gone from 2 to 3.
Lady Feathertop kind of looks at you, and her eyes, which previously, again, were looking at everyone and no one all at the same time, settle on you, Kenjamin. And there is an uncomfortable moment where your eyes lock and this stony face meets a also literally stony dwarf.
Mm-hmm.
And you could swear that just a tiny corner of her mouth turns up a little when you say that. "Oh, well, I'm sure that the gala will be more interesting for having you all here. I hope you all are well. Madam Goldtree, are you feeling up to the rigors of our annual gala? It seems that you are a bit unwell.
So, between the previous veiled insult and Lady Florentina Feathertop's just direct, basically, accusation that says, you're not well enough to be here, Charity's having a hard time not just going off, essentially. I want to try and roll stoicism, essentially to, like, ooh, bite my tongue.
Okay.
And, like, keep myself from making a scene here, because mm-hmm. I know, left unchecked, we're going to have some problems.
Okay.
And I would like to help with that, seeing as I am kind of directly behind.
I love that.
I will whisper to Charity,
calm, my lady. Plenty of time.
So, stoicism is Charity's worst trait. Mm-hmm. And as always, I am only rolling a single d6. But because I have Sylvester's help, I'm rolling an additional d6 on top of that. So I got a 5 on one die and a 1 on the other.
That
so
is a success.
I will thank Sylvester for his help later, but for right now, Charity simply responds with,
the road here was long, but I'm so happy that we were able to make it to the Emerald Gala. Your manor is absolutely beautiful, and I can't wait to see what else you have in store for us this week.
Kenjamin.
Yes.
Where you saw this little upturn, the barest hint of a smile on her face, as she tries to keep composed and kind of answers with this level of stoicism, you actually see that despite it being successful, the smirk, if it was even there,
mm-hmm.
is gone.
Mm.
Violet, is there anything you'd like to do in this exact moment?
In this exact moment, I think Violet is just stunned at her own mother being like, whoo, yeah, mom, you pulled it off. Thank you. And will mostly just curtsy at both Florentina and Quincy.
Anyway, thank you all for joining us. As I said, refreshments are, well, all across the room. Someone will be no doubt around to ensure that you have adequate libations. And please, enjoy yourself. Someone will show you to your room when you are ready. Don't forget tonight's welcome ball. And she just kind of like, she doesn't even like raise a hand, but still somehow shoos you away.
And Kenjamin will give a subtle nod to both her and to Quincy standing next to her as we leave, but otherwise notices the dismissal.
I think as the gold trees walk past, Violet will look to make direct eye contact with Quincy. Not so as long as to stare at him, but just to see if he will catch her eye.
There is a moment where your eyes cross. That sounds like your eyes literally physically cross, but your eyes meet.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as he kind of catches it, he looks away.
Hmm.
The party is very nice. Again, there are seemingly endless amounts of waitstaff who are constantly circling with a variety of fantasy champagnes, fantasy canapes, all of the kind of delightful little morsels that you would kind of find at a very prim and proper setting. And like I said, this is presumably one of the many ballrooms that exist in this opulent estate. There are even multiple stories as people kind of are able to look down and watch as new people continue to stream in, and you're able to kind of start mingling, start seeing who all is here, and, you know, kind of getting a lay of the land, so to speak. Violet, is there anything that you would like to do as a part of this scene or kind of in the immediate aftermath to advance things?
I think for Violet, though this is the social event of the season, we are in the presence of a lot of familiar faces, as like the families that attend these events are the same most of the time. As new people move to the area, they are welcome to come and things like that. But so for the most part, Violet knows a lot of the people and knows her competition, for lack of a better phrase. Because I am assuming this whole week-long social event is a game of chess, she is finding, like, the knights for Florentina and would like to engage in some thoughtful and...
You know how knights move, so you're trying to raise L?
Damn it.
No, that's Charity's job.
Yeah, yes. Okay.
But just really, like, impress them and kind of charm them.
Yeah, you're trying to get in good with the people who are close to mm-hmm. the people at the top. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I mean, like, get in good, but, like, get a leg up early.
Definitely.
Violet would like to engage in witty banter and conversation.
Witty repartee.
Yes.
Absolutely. That sounds perfect.
So I would like to roll wit.
Perfect. Please do. How many are you rolling?
3.
Okay.
Because wit is the intelligence stat on this sheet, so it's got to be maxed out
yep,
for fast.
Absolutely.
4 is the highest.
Oh,
no.
So you're trying to make the rounds. You're trying to make inroads. And at every turn, it seems like you get some nice momentum going. You kind of start to play the game that you know you have to play. And then someone steps in and interrupts your conversation. Or, oh, then now there's this new plate of hors d'oeuvres that come and everyone's back immediately turns and then conversations start up other places. Mm-hmm. And so while you make a fine impression, you don't make a lasting impression, which is almost worse.
Dang.
So alas, as the afternoon wears on, more people come. And, of course, more people start to leave as the hour for the kind of grand ball approaches. Eventually, you all kind of reconvene. You find one another, realize, it is time for us to be shuffled off to the next place. And just as you are kind of looking around to maybe decide to go, or, oh, should we get going? Do you know, how do we ask someone where we're staying? Impeccably, a servant just kind of sidles up to you. Excuse me, Gold Trees, may I assist you to your lodgings?
That would be most excellent.
Very good, very good. And this butler twirls around and starts walking off and leads you to a part of the estate that appears to just be the equivalent of a neighborhood.
Behold, another perfect recreation of the Gold Tree Manor. Yeah.
We had it flown in.
One half scale.
But there are just cottages. Rows and rows of individual cottages. They're nothing like, overly huge.
I was going to say, is this like the cottage that Marie Antoinette built in the back of the Palace of Versailles because she was just like a little too over all the guests she had at Versailles?
It's not that. They are no manor estates. Mm-hmm. Certainly it is not as large and luxurious as where you guys live, but they are each individually larger and more luxurious than how most people live. Mm. And everyone is being filed away to it. Again, this is all just in kind of a beautiful grid. There is impeccable landscaping everywhere. More weird birds just kind of everywhere.
Is this like on like a, there's like a grand like mall or lawn that's like a kind of like a little square that the cottages are around, and then like more cottages are gridded off of that?
I was viewing it as like sprawling hills.
Okay.
And then just lines of cottages, because there's hundreds of people here. Presumably some people live nearby that they're probably going home or something like that. But for people like you guys, that's not feasible. And there are scores of nice houses that are just apparently also on the Feathertop Estate.
See, I was imagining the dumbest version of this, which is that it was just one line of estates, and we all had to file in by alphabetical order. So we were very lucky that our name starts with G, but those folks that start with Z got to walk like 4 miles to the end of the block.
Absolutely, that is true. Well, it is at the end of the block, but also way back, so yeah. It's back corner. And luckily, you guys were somewhere kind of in the middle, right. For certain. As you are kind of shown to your cottage in between the gold farthings and the gold zings. Yep, that's a canonical name. I'm not writing either of those down. You can remember it if you want to bring them up.
Which we're going to now.
Which you're going. That's fine. And if you do, by all means, I'm just being honest.
Hey, look,
I'm not going to
Zachary Goldzing. Zach, how you doing?
Great. And then I'll write it down.
Wow, the only character I want to interact with all night.
That's fine. I'll figure it out. All of your luggage has already been brought there. Impeccably laid out for you to claim your various rooms, of which there are somehow adequate for your entire family and servant. Even has his own room. You know, it's like tucked away. It's like the equivalent of under the stairs, but the stairs are giant stairs, so it is a full room.
The stairs have a whole
still.
Master bathroom.
Yeah, precisely.
Law attached to them.
Exactly.
Walk-in closet.
And you are all able to ready yourselves for the evening ahead, but of course, most crucially, is Violet. We are now heading into the welcome gala, which means not everyone gets the dice roll. It means only that Violet gets a dice roll. But anyone who has not used their help actions are allowed to. You can only stack help once for particular roles. Is there anything that you would like to say either mechanically or flavorfully, as you all get ready, as you kind of get psyched to show up to whatever is in store later this evening?
So Charity is definitely helping Violet with her hair and makeup, that's for sure. But she is also busy picking out which hat might be the most proper at this event.
For herself?
Oh no, for Violet.
Violet's not wearing
a hat. So, it fell off on the walk over.
Tonight is a night of dancing. There will be no hats.
Well, that's what Sylvester's for. I always have him carry my hats when there's dancing.
No, Mom, the hats are for you.
Violet,
you've made a very
dear,
intricate spreadsheet.
This is the Emerald Gala,
the finest event of the season.
The
Saints and Demons welcome ball. It is.
You can't go out with your head looking like that.
We have done hours of work on my hair. It looks fantastic. It'd be a shame to cover it with a hat.
Kenjamin, say something to your daughter.
Yes, quite.
The listeners cannot see you mime a Rubik's Cube.
Of course, dear, of course, yes.
Click, clack, click, clack.
Where were we?
Click, clack. Oh, all yellows. Got it. I got the cross or whatever that you're supposed to get. Hell yeah.
Now, dear, you have spent quite a long time on our dear Violet's hair. Perhaps we should show that off. Her gorgeous auburn locks to the rest of the people.
It's not about what the rest of the people think. It's about what Quincy Feathertop thinks. And you saw his cape. His clothes. He appreciates someone with style, with class, with a hat.
Mother, I would like to remind you that it is actually not Quincy's opinion that matters, as the Emerald of the Gala is decided by Florentina and not Quincy.
Well, it seems I've been outvoted on this one. But just you wait, there's a whole week full of these dances. We'll get a hat on you yet, Violet.
Sylvester will kind of move up to Violet's side and just lean down and say,
I understand the most modern of the dances require a lot of head bobbing, and a hat would be impractical.
Violet will chuckle to herself.
And then he will step back and put his arms behind his back and wait for something to do.
I'm trying to figure out Violet's outfit for the Saints and Demons.
That was my outfit. The I had the one outfit.
I love that as a character choice. Just straight up.
I'm already dressed and ready to go, guys. Yeah. Like, whatever,
in case
whatever you're
you need
ready.
Permission, I love that.
I'm trying to decide, would Charity let Kenjamin only bring one outfit for the whole event?
I believe that Charity would allow Kenjamin to think
exactly.
He only brought one outfit right. for the event.
So as you're getting dressed, putting on that same military outfit that you walked in with that everyone's already seen, Charity just beckons to Sylvester. Sylvester, get the rest of Kenjamin's clothes. He's got a few to try on.
Right away, madam.
What do you mean? Like, my belt? I mean, I've got it right here. I don't see what Sylvester... Oh, what? Sylvester, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Get away from me!
And that's how we're going to spend a few hours, since Violet won't let me touch her hair anymore.
That energy has to go somewhere.
Right, yeah.
And it's, unfortunately, Kenjamin.
I feel like Violet very much encouraged this as well, of trying to divert some of Charity's focus from her to her dad. And Violet feels a little bit bad about it, but not enough to intervene.
And so, like Sylvester, I imagine Sylvester is like dressing Kenjamin to an extent where like Kenjamin does not want to put on these clothes.
Yeah. So like to the extent of like Charity's probably saying something like, try on the blue coat. And then Sylvester will get the blue coat, hold it up, realize Kenjamin is not doing anything with his arms, and then just kind of drape it over him so that Charity could get a look at what it would look like.
Yes,
and then,
exactly.
And then we kind of swap it out. And
maybe not that one. Try the gray one next.
Violet will take this opportunity to go. I'm assuming the cottages all have a little outdoor seating area.
Sure, absolutely. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like a
nooks.
Front porch or something like. And we'll go and sit and enjoy some quiet reading time.
Are you decked out at this point?
Oh, she is in her like... full, like, Violet was the first person to finish getting ready because it is very important for Violet to be ready on time. So she is ready and waiting. And now Charity's attention is diverted to Kenjamin. And so Violet has some time before Charity decides it is time to go to the ball.
And I also imagine that Sylvester will probably be the last one to get ready because he has been helping everybody else, which is also partly why I
chose. How come he only gets one outfit?
No, I actually, Sylvester goes to get ready and comes out in a saint-ish outfit. If you want, I can tell you now, or we can wait till the description.
Well, if we're all eager McBeavers to, which is definitely the most Regency term that I've used, I think, to unveil what all we're wearing, it's nighttime. Dotted all throughout the various cottages that people are now emerging from are floating candles leading you back to somewhere on the estate, and you can see trail and trail of people who are just kind of barely lit by all of this candlelight, all going to a yet unforeseen building on this estate property, which gives every impression of being another palace. Could you all please describe once more what now you are all wearing as you all enter into the welcome dance, the first formal event of the Emerald Gala.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Hello, everyone. GM Nathan here, and welcome once more to the Midroll. This is where I remind you to follow us on all the social medias, particularly on Twitter at reckless_attack, where we are posting a variety of frogs and memes and frog memes and meme frogs. You can find all our socials by visiting our website at recklessattack.com and much more. If you like us, consider supporting us on Patreon. It's one of the best ways to help us grow and improve the show. Early ad-free episodes, level-up talkbacks, and oodles of other stuff await you there at a variety of tiers. Lastly, don't forget to tell a friend if you're enjoying the show or let us know by leaving a rating or review on your podcatcher of choice. That's all for me. Enjoy the rest of the episode.
So Sylvester walks in and the light from the candles hits him. He's wearing a white shirt and jacket. It looks very similar to the style that Quincy was wearing, but a little bit older style. Except at his waist, the white stops and it becomes jet black pants and shoes below that. So Sylvester is actually dressed as the Halved Saint, otherwise known as the Fallen Saint. But Sylvester is basically waiting at the side for his family to enter.
And I'm imagining as Sylvester opens the door for the family, Kenjamin steps through the threshold. His long white hair is down and has been brushed straight so that it lies flat along his shoulders. He is wearing a more muted outfit today. A dark navy blue and a sort of like matching two-toned shirt and slacks. And all along the trim of this outfit are spirals and whorls and waves, indicative of the rushing ocean. And Kenjamin is dressed in a way evocative of the saint of sailors lost at sea.
So Charity is a little bit older, but that doesn't stop her from wearing a sleeveless, backless dress.
Hell yeah.
As dark as the night sky to this Saints and Demons event. Much like her husband, Kenjamin, she is trying to evoke the depth of the sea, the endless ocean, the darkness that cannot be pierced, except by those denizens of the deep. Because atop her head is perhaps the only mythical creature that strikes fear into sailors at night. She is wearing a scale model of the Kraken.
How often are we going to use the phrase
scale
in the coming episodes?
Many.
How many events are there that would potentially require a hat?
Yes. Because atop her head, again, a wide-brimmed hat resting at a 45-degree angle atop her head is this large, almost slimy, slick-looking octopus with 8 tentacles draped down the sides of her hat in all 8 directions.
Okay, wait. Alternatively, can I?
Yes.
I just want to pitch this.
Yes.
Got it in my brain. Instead of a wide brim hat, what if the Kraken octopus is like at a 45 degree angle on Charity's head?
Oh, yeah.
And like the tentacles kind of wrap down her neck. That's almost good. Like a cowl and then down her arms like an armband.
Okay.
Fuck yes, okay.
Charity. I also had my own idea.
Okay, we're going to derail this episode and just talk about Charity's outfit.
We're just
going to
go with yours because I had an idea too, and that's
so a billion too, times like better. Like Charity's dress is black, but like the octopus or Kraken is almost like this like obsidian opalescent like purple, like deep purple
for sure,
and then that like kind of. Fuck, I'm really jealous of Taylor.
Taylor's got a great outfit.
You should have worn the hat.
I should have worn the hat. This could have been my
compliments the dress perfectly. That's excellent. That is exactly what Charity Goldtree looks like in this moment.
Yeah. So there's like tentacles framing her face, but then others like just extend down and like, again, form this kind of like, it's almost like a cowl, I would say.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
Down her neck and across her shoulders and then like a few wrap down. And I feel like there's one on either arm that like wraps all the way down to like her hand.
And to clarify, this is not you describing your character.
No, this is Jonathan's character, Charity.
For me describing Violet's mom. Listener,
I am very excited about Jonathan's character's outfit.
Should have worn a hat.
Do Kenjamin's outfit next.
I haven't even figured out my outfit, guys.
Focus up, Sophie. Yeah. You're the literal main character of this plot line.
Behold, Charity Goldtree.
Charity
right?
I'm going to get the most eligible bachelorette. The plot will move forward, right?
I'm going to go find me a Quincy Feathertop, right?
She's there in the estate monogrammed bathrobe.
Yeah.
Flip-flops on. Yeah.
I really want to go with the ocean theme now.
I mean...
I feel like we gotta, unfortunately, have to.
So what's the vibe you're going for, I guess? Any of the skills you're using or any of the whatever's like, could that be a part of the...
I was going to evoke Violet's secret a little bit. Her secret is that she now regrets the thing that brought her acclaim. And in my mind, this is not the first social event that would rank the youth of the Ton. You know, there are other things that have brought prestige to Violet or potentially other of her peers. But of course, Violet's was basically like an academic decathlon of like, there was some big, you know, another week-long social event that was like,
how much trivia can you, how many math equations can you solve while also in a ballroom gown?
Right. Yeah. And it's like some of that, but also maybe it's like dressage is also a part of it too. You know, like
fancy
get the
horsing.
Kids outdoors, yes. Kind of thing. Polo or croquet, the angles, the geometry, it's all there.
Right.
But so,
cool. I don't know.
Billiards, please.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Please.
Yeah. What is that one?
Snooker.
Thank you, snooker. Yeah. So I was trying to brainstorm an outfit that would evoke like a saint of knowledge or something like that. So Violet could enter the welcoming ball, reminding everyone that she won this competition. But that is not on theme.
No, no, no. I have a pitch for you.
Yes.
What if it is you are evoking a saint of like exploration and discovery,
oh, mm-hmm.
where it's like this is a saint who won their acclaim by sailing around the world, like the first person who circumnavigated the globe or something.
Mm-hmm.
And either that was like a trivia question that you knew, or like that was the winning trivia question. And of course, everyone will remember the time that you crushed their spirits.
Ooh, actually, okay. So I think kind of with trying to go as close to family theme and forging her own future, Violet will come dressed in a gown that has like a slight V-neck at the front. And then the gown itself is not quite swirls, but again, almost that like, is it iridescent? That like when you look at it, at different angles,
like
it has different
water.
Covers, kind of like that.
Yeah.
But it's all the different blues you would find
sure.
in the ocean. But then on her shoulders is, I'm thinking very Cersei, Game of Thrones. She has like almost like, they're
pauldrons?
Not pauldrons. Okay, they're all pauldrons.
Like shoulder pads, shoulder pieces, we'll say.
Listeners, you know what I'm talking about. Late seasons, Cersei. Game of Thrones,
yeah.
Like fantasy shoulder pads that have like a little chain around the front to attach them. But the shoulder pads are evocative of what's the sextant that you use to find and guide ships on the sea.
Ooh, sick.
And they're
nice.
Kind of like a little bit angular. And then they hold a long cape that is white pearls draping behind her. So I don't have a hat, Mom, but I have a pretty fucking cool cape.
Yeah, all right.
Sylvester's holding an extra box.
Yeah.
A cylindrical box just in case she changes her mind.
Okay, wait. Jonathan.
Yes.
What would be a good hat?
Globe. Just a globe.
Still a globe.
Yeah.
You swirl it around.
Right.
Of course, it's a
scale model
of the Earth, of the world.
Yeah. Right.
Mm-hmm.
You mean it's not one-to-one?
No.
So that is Violet's gown.
The inside of this place is entirely gold-trimmed. It is gold everywhere. It is intricate, and each of the things in it are a different bird, or a scene of a bird in flight, or several birds that are floating upon a pond, all kinds of scenes involving more of the bird motif, all set beautifully in gold and paint. There's lots of rooms on the side for people to stand for side conversations. There are band members playing in the background, and the whole place is awash with activity. And set amongst all of it are more actual birds flying around this whole place. You all make your grand arrival, and you know that relatively soon, the kind of main event dance will be taking place. There is time for certainly everyone to kind of participate in various other dances, to talk with other people, to introduce, to whatever. Again, maybe set up future schemes. But you will all have to kind of go your different directions at some point in the evening. For the three of you who are not Violet, is there any particular notable either action or just kind of image that kind of encapsulates what you are doing this evening?
So I'm going to say Kenjamin and Charity are definitely dancing the night away.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dance a lot, and Charity is especially flashy when she dances. She's all over the place. She's very attention-grabbing is her primary style. And dancing happens to be her specialty skill, so there's a lot of eyes on her and Kenjamin at the ball tonight.
Which is why we chose a hat that attaches at 8 different points.
Yes,
yes, exactly.
Very important.
And yet, so very quickly, there's 2 tendrils that are just slapping other people.
Yeah.
But, you know, everyone's having such a nice time that it's a pleasure to be hit in the face.
Right.
Or probably, like, in the waist
by
these beautiful, beautiful tentacles.
Sylvester will actually be spending some time talking and listening to maybe some of the other head butlers or other help that is around, just to get a kind of a feel of how their families are viewing their chances at the gala. And just staying as to the side and out of the way as he was kind of trained to do with being the head butler, and also keeping an eye on Violet, Charity, and Kenjamin to see if they actually need anything or need him to intervene in any kind of way.
Yeah. Seems like Sylvester knows that this is part one of a longer campaign, so to speak. The night goes on, and there are no appearances, you realize, of the two hosts this evening. Plenty of dances, plenty of things happening, but an hour plus goes by. Everyone seems to be here. The doors have been shut, and the party is in full fledge, except for the hosts. That is, of course, until you all hear the telltale flapping of wings. And you can see, you're not sure where they could have come from, but the two feather tops are descending, well, a staircase of birds. Imagine all of the birds that were kind of flying around, and again, these beautiful, beautiful show birds are now flying across the room in decreasingly lower places, perfectly synced with each step that they take downward, as if they are entering on a grand staircase, except, as aforementioned, of birds.
I'm very much picturing the I just can't wait to be king scene.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
And but more regency with gold filigree and things.
Of course.
And birds.
Yeah.
Birds.
And very quickly, cheers start to break out. Or at least, you know, refined cheers, of course, naturally.
The golf claps.
Golf claps, which are raucous as far as this crowd is concerned. And the two stroll hand in hand downwards, waving at everyone in kind of a nice, genteel way. As they finally hit the floor, they all look around and kind of, again, give a last wave and a grand bow. Whereupon Lady Feathertop raises her voice above the crowd and speaks for herself and says, "And now it is time to dance." Almost immediately, you see the crowd part as if in some sort of biblical story. And the only two people on the dance floor are the two Feathertops. As they walk to one end, a servant yells out, "All those wishing to take part in the peacock promenade, please step forward."
Violet will take a step out into the crowd to be more visible and then look back towards Sylvester, and he'll come forward and actually unclasp the pearl cape to allow for better dancing.
I'll make a show of draping it over my arm and receding back into the crowd.
But Violet will then confidently walk forward and prominently place herself on the stairs.
Promenade forward, yes, promenade, exactly.
But prominently place herself in front of...
At a peak position.
You recognize many, but not all of the faces who also step forward. There's actually quite a range of people who participate in these, because again, it's not necessarily only to be the prime suitor. Certainly. Again, most years, that is not the case. Most years, it is just a kind of social climb and be the most eligible. So you see people of all ages and all genders kind of taking part in this. Particularly, you see just down the line from you, you see Kimberly Fitzhugh, who you may recall your father kind of vaguely recollecting on your way here. You know her as the first daughter of the second most powerful and rich family in the county. And she is wearing a very intense gown. Her dress shows a morning sky, like a sunrise effect, where near the floor is a beautiful kind of grassy scene, and then you can see a sun emerging with intricate colors all the way up, and her hair done to evoke clouds. And she pays you no mind, stands ramrod straight, ready for the dance. The music kicks in. It is sweeping in a sort of formal and stiff way. Now, Violet.
Mm-hmm.
How are you trying to accomplish? How are you trying to tackle
Kimberly if it's you?
That's Charity's job.
Yeah, right.
That's true.
Spray.
That's
right.
True.
So, though this dance is exacting steps,
yes,
and routines, you do have to do those steps and numbers with every ounce of energy you have. Though Violet and Charity butt heads sometimes, she is her mother's daughter and does love a dance and has watched her parents dance and has been taught to dance by them her entire life and shares their passion for music and dancing.
The dance.
The dance. And so she will be using passion.
Okay. Love that. Are there any other things you're adding?
One thing, I don't know if I can add this necessarily, is that she is dressed to evoke her secret,
mm-hmm,
specifically to Quincy, as the part she regrets about winning this contest and this acclaim is that it came at his expense.
Mm.
He came in second, and it was definitely expected of him to win.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Feathertop was definitely telling everyone at the event prior that it was Quincy's to lose, and she was quite shocked when he did. But Violet is trying to kind of evoke that, yes, she did win that contest, but more to gain a chance to talk to Quincy because they were friends before, and now it's been a few years and it kind of soured their relationship. So she's trying to basically just provoke him into talking to her at this point, just like of like maybe like rub it in his face. So there's also that kind of passion behind this dance.
You know what? I'll give you a D6 for that. Okay. That seems reasonable.
Okay, I have a 5 at least.
Okay. Cool, good.
Everyone swirls and steps in time with this music. You can see out of the corner of your eye your parents watching. You can see Sylvester, I don't know, lurking in the shadows, waiting to be of assistance. Over the course of doing this dance, you, like everyone, eventually cross paths with all of the various partners, even for just a moment, including, of course, Quincy himself. In this moment, you recall that he tried to avoid you previously, or tried to avoid your gaze, rather. And there is a moment of hesitation that you can sense. A moment where he doesn't quite reach out his hand that has been reached out to so many other people across this dance. But then, whether it's because that's just what you do and that is...
decorum demands.
Exactly. That is, he is simply executing the dance. Or something else. He extends his hand and makes eye contact with you as you perform the various steps. And there is a connection there. Sylvester, as you can see, the master and lady of your house, who you serve so diligently, watching their daughter go through this intricate dance, you notice a shadowy figure in the background. You can't quite tell who they are, but you get the distinct impression that they're looking right at you. And that is where we'll leave until next week's episode.
Oh, no.
Yay! Thank you for listening, everyone.
Yay!
Bye.
I thought you were going to have Florentina say, and now begins the battle royale.
Yeah, right.
I know.
Everyone like, well, to your stations.
I know. And I was like, I was like,
I could see it in your face. Yeah. And I was like, shit. Should I throw all of this out?
Yeah.
And it's a murder mystery battle royale.
Yeah. Or they don't show maybe. Up and then they just gas the entire room.
Yeah, right. No, I was deeply hoping that Florentina was dead when you said that she was missing.
Yeah, right.
I wanted that so bad.
Same.
I thought about it.